you listen to in the news. Okay? Bad news. We're in a very bad news time. I'm listening to very little news right now. I'm not listening to it. I'm not listening to the Obama stuff, the bad, attacking Obama. I'm not listening to that. I'm not listening to the economy stuff. I'm not listening to that. I can't do anything about that. But there's one thing I can do something about, and that's the way that I think. Okay? I can do something about my destiny. I cannot change America. And me getting mad, because I used to watch some of the news things and I would be mad. I mean, I'm ready to burn somebody's house down. I'm ready to, let's go lynch somebody. Let's impeach. Let's do the whole deal. I'm ready to do that. And a lot of times what we wind up doing is taking somebody else's offense. We get offended because of the way that somebody talks about something. And a lot of it, a lot of the talk news stuff is about stirring people up. And a lot of news is about bad news because they know that you'll keep coming back to hear the next song. I'm not listening to it. I watch the weather. I watch some local stuff. I watch just a little bit. I do know that John Calipari went to Kentucky and not John Pelfrey, and I'm glad about that. But see, I'm not listening to a lot of news. That went over most everybody's head. Not many. Wanda got it, didn't she? Okay. They're paying him $35 million to go coach that Kentucky Wildcat team. Wish they'd offer me that. I'd go for a year for $4 million. Is it $5 million a year? Okay, I'd go for $5 million 1 year and get fired. Okay, anyway, I'm not watching the news. I'm not allowing that to affect my thinking. Zig Ziglar says, how you think determines what you become. There's a proverb that says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What you think determines what you become. What you hear is what you see. What you see is what you say. What you say is what you do. What you do is what you become. That's the progression of it. You hear it. You see the mental image of it. You begin to speak it. You begin to do it. Or you begin to say it. You begin to do it. Then you become that. And that's how it works. So if we will determine, if we will cut things off in the mental stage, they will not become a stronghold in our minds. It's easier to deal with an acorn than it is an oak tree. Did you know that? If you'll deal with it when it's an acorn, it'll never be a problem with you. If you leave the acorn in the ground, it'll become a mighty oak. And mighty oaks are hard to deal with. So if we will learn to control our thinking, we can master our destinies. And I know that some of this sounds new agey, and it's some of the things that they're saying in the business world. There's a lot of people out there that talks about thinking and mastering your thinking. All of this stuff comes out of the Bible. Most of the things, and see, here's where the church gets messed up sometimes. Because if the world uses something, we think it's demonic or worldly or something. But listen, everything that works and produces in the world is based on a biblical principle. Most of the things in business that the business world uses where people are successful are based on some biblical principle. And besides that, who gave us our ability to think? God did. Who gave us our imaginations? God did. But we need to control all of that. Don't you need to control your... God gave you lots of things, and you better control most of them or you're going to get in trouble. Okay? We could talk about lust. You got to control your body. You got to control your passion. God gave you all of that, and it's not evil within itself, but we have to control those things. Why shouldn't we control our minds? How you think determines what you become. Small thinking settles, I love this quote, small thinking settles for average status quo living bound on four sides by the stagnant water of mediocrity. I like that. Small thinking settles for average status quo living bound on four sides by the stagnant water of mediocrity. On the north, by compromise. On the south, by indecision. On the east, by past thinking. And on the west, by lack of vision. That's big. All of those things are stagnant forces that keeps a person thinking small and being small. What are they? Number one, compromise. Compromise. Number two, indecision. Can't make up my mind. You know why we can't make up our mind? Something's controlling our thinking. Okay, we're not thinking right. On the east, by past thinking. And that's huge. That is mega, 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 mega stuff there. Your past. The way you think about your past is mega. Do you know why a lot of people return to their past? It's because they never replace the thought processes that led them out of that. You can get free of something. I know a guy in this church years ago that instantly got set free of cocaine addiction. God delivered him from cocaine addiction. A lot of you know him. God set him free. But something that he never did do, he never did change his thinking. You can get free of something. You can get free of lust. You can get free of pornography. You can get free of a lot of different things in your life. But if you don't change the way that you think, if you think the way that you've always thought in the past, it will lead you right back to your old lifestyle. It is. Let me say this. It is not enough just to get saved. There's a whole bunch of people think that if I can get saved, then I'll just go to heaven. And that's their mentality. They quit with salvation. Salvation gets you in the door. What God wants to do, He wants to change your whole life. God takes you just like you are, but He loves you too much to leave you like you are. Because if something doesn't happen in your life, you're going to return to your old lifestyle. You know, the Bible uses the proverb, we just ate supper, didn't we? How the dog returns to its own vomit. And that's what happens a lot of time with people that don't change the way they think. They return to the old lifestyle. It's just like the dog returns to his, you know what? Gross. Everybody say gross. We don't like her. She's going to hurl. My bad. Leave it to me. Jerry's going. Average living. I'm just taking quotes out of the book and commenting on them. This is commentary night. Okay. Average living. Average. Everybody say average. God did not call us just to be average. He called. I mean, you know, I'm an average athlete, but I'm not called to be an athlete. I may be average at some things, but there's some things that God did not call me to be average at. He called me to excel. Not in everything, but in the things that He has purposed in my life. He's called me to excel at those things. Average living doesn't make room for fulfilling your greatest potential in Christ, from whom you gain your strength and focus to guard against mediocrity. You have so much potential on the inside of you, but if you don't change the way that you think, you will never reach your potential. Small thinking must be shattered if you expect to live your life on purpose and master your big dreams. Has anybody here got any big dreams for their life? You know what you would like to do? I mean, in your heart, there's something that you would really like to do that would really be fulfilling in your life. And you can see yourself doing certain things that right now you can't do. Okay? We need to get out of our average thinking. We're going to have to start thinking bigger than we've ever thought before. I'll be honest with you. You know, I've been at this church for a long time. Be 28 years in August. And I've done a lot of little thinking in my life. But in my heart, I've had a big dream. And just knowing how to get from where I was to where I knew in my heart that I needed to be, I did not know how to do. At times it was frustrating. We're beginning to see now what I have seen for a long time. And we're not done yet. In fact, I hope we're never done until Jesus comes. I hope when Jesus comes, we're still gaining momentum. We're still going forward. We're still rocking the kingdom of hell and opening the gates for the kingdom of heaven for people to come in and people to become committed followers of Jesus Christ and servers of Jesus Christ and people who make a difference and people who are a blessing in the community that they live in. When people that other people look at and think, I would like to be like Nancy. I would like to be like Paige. I'd like to be like Jim Busby. That ought to be our goal, to be the people of God like that. God has got... I didn't say Jerry, did I? I could tell I offended him. Okay. Okay. So if we're going to master our big dreams, we have got to shatter our small thinking. Some of us think small and we don't even realize we're thinking small. We really don't. We don't realize that we have been small thinkers. Okay? Philippians 4:13 from the Amplified Bible. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. How sufficient is Christ? I mean, have you ever read the Bible? Has anybody here ever read the Bible? Have you ever read the New Testament? Have you ever read about the life of Jesus? You know, you ought to take your religious glasses off and read about the life of Jesus. Don't see Him as God in the flesh. See Him as a man. You say, well, wouldn't that be blasphemy? No, He was a man. He was God. Jesus was 100% God and 100% man. Okay? When He lived in the earth, He did not live in the earth like God. He lived in the earth like man. He showed us what a Christian life should be like. And this says, oh, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him. Now listen to this. Who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Did He ever run up against anything that He didn't have an answer for? Did He ever run up into a situation where He did not bring the power of God? Very few times. I think of one time that He couldn't do many mighty miracles because of the unbelief in His hometown. But it wasn't because He lacked. But He would run into the demonic and He'd set them free. He'd run into lack, and guess what? His sufficiency was in God, and God supplied. can we have that same mindset that we cannot get into a situation that God does not have a solution for us? So, I don't know what it is. Well, we need to be finding out. We need to claim scriptures like this. That I'm equal to any task in Christ Jesus. He empowers me. I'm infused with inner strength. I'm self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Is that what you say about yourself? Or do you just say, well, you know, I can't do it. I'm not big enough for it. You need to change the way that you think. You need to change the way that you think. Colossians 1, 28, 29. Him we preach and proclaim, warning and admonishing everyone and instructing everyone in all wisdom, comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God, that we may present every person. Listen to this, every person. Everybody say every person. What kind of church is God coming back for? What kind of people is He coming back for? A bunch of backbiting, immature, holier than thou, weak, hold the fort for I'm coming, Christians. It says, Him we preach, proclaim, warning, admonishing everyone, instructing everyone in all wisdom, comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God, that we may present every person mature, full grown, fully initiated, complete, and perfect in Christ, the Anointed One. That's what you're supposed to look like on the day when we come before Him. That's the way that we're supposed to be. For this I labor unto weariness, striving with all the superhuman energy which He also mightily enkindles and works within me. You know, your sufficiency is not enough. But you don't have your sufficiency. You have His sufficiency. Ooh. You know, that's good stuff. That is really good stuff. And there's a lot of things that we need to think about that makes us stumble many times. One of those, we all know about our failures, don't we? We look back and we say, you know, I have failed over and over and over and over. How many of us are in that boat, you think? I'm in that boat. Have you ever stumbled over the same sin, the same weakness, the same weight? I mean, over and over and over and over again. Sometimes we look at people and you think, you know what? I bet Nancy never has an evil thought. I bet she does. I practical guarantee she does. I bet so and so never has a bad attitude. You know, you see, Claudine's been a Christian how long? 80 years? Oh, 1971. 38 years. Reckon she ever cops a tude? Reckon she ever gets? See, she just did. She smacked her husband. I mean, aren't we kind of all in that boat? I mean, haven't we all had failures in and multiple failures and the same dumb thing over and over and over, and we just, here I am again, Jesus. I hope You'll forgive me one more time. Have we done that? Has anybody besides me done that lately? I mean, attitudes. I mean, you just name the whole gamut, okay? And we understand the failure mentality and how that can keep us from becoming what we should be. But let me tell you something else, and this is what the book talks about. This is really good. Your past successes can be as big of a hindrance as your past failures. Because a lot of times we have had success in certain areas, and we get into a place that we become complacent because we have achieved something. And we think that we have, okay, now I've done that, now I can just kind of rest on my accomplishments. I know Christians who get this attitude. You know what, I've served the Lord for a long time. Now it's just kind of, I just need to step back and let some of the younger ones serve the Lord. Wait a minute. When do you get to quit serving God? When we got you laying up here saying kind words over you. That's when you get in this life to quit serving God. We've all, you know what you do may change, but I've seen people who just sat down and quit. And they've had success in their life. I have, you know, a lot of people will go and they'll reach a plateau and they'll have some success and they think, okay, we're going to rest now. No, it's not time to rest. The Bible says that we're being changed from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. Honey, you're not there yet. We're not perfect. We're not complete yet. And when God comes back, when Jesus comes back, He's wanting a mature body of believers. That's what He's looking for. He's not looking for 38-year-old babies in Christ. I don't believe He's going to be happy with that. Do you? Okay. We need to remember, we never need to forget how we got to where we are. There are people who we need to be able to instruct in the way on how we got to where we are. It's so easy to forget that. And it's very easy, and I've seen this, people who have matured, they think they're mature, and they become very condescending to other people because they just think that they ought to know what they know. You know what is so refreshing, guys and gals that have just recently come into the church that are new believers? One thing that y'all need to know that's so refreshing to some of us old heads is when we see you grow, we remember when we were there. And there's something that happens that just rekindles something in our own heart that stirs us up again afresh and anew. I hope in 5 years we can look back and some of you will be the mature ones and see the new ones coming in and looking back and think, oh yeah, I remember, oh yeah. You remember how you got there. And God is able to use you to help other people in their growth. See, this is what Christianity is all about. It's not just about God saving me and getting me ready for heaven. Part of that has to do with me helping someone else along the way. That's why I'm so excited about Servolution. You know when Servolution begins? Tomorrow. Tomorrow begins the 7 days of Servolution. Is it third through the ninth, third through the tenth? Today's the first, isn't it? Okay, it begins the third. So I'm excited about serving because it does something to us as believers. As we begin to serve and pour into other people, we can help them along the journey. We don't need to forget how we had the success that we've had so far. You don't need to forget about what motivated you. We need to come back to the passion that we once had for the things of God. I remember when I first got saved. That first year that I was saved, I was so hungry for the things of God. I was like a little sponge. And I've been raised in church all my life. They get me up and I had to go to church. I thought, dear God, got to go to church today. Go there and boring. Preacher pray for 5-10 minutes. We sing those same songs. I never knew what he talked about. Sunday school, they read out of them dumb quarterlies. I didn't get anything out of it. When I got saved, and I'm talking about really saved, I became a little sponge. Every song just turned my crank. Those songs that I had sung for years, what was the difference? I knew the one they were singing about now. He wasn't just a historical figure. He was a living figure in my own heart, see? And And I had a real passion. And I was hungry to learn. And I didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. And I began to hear about the Holy Spirit. Then I got more hungry. Woo! Then I received the Holy Spirit. Then I got hungrier still. I realized that I was called to do something. I two preachers in this town. One of them's in heaven and the other one, he's in Little Rock. But I'd knock on their door every day. I say, "Now, Brother Adams, what do you think about this? Tell me what about this? I don't understand it. Explain this to me. I heard so-and-so say this over here." "Well, what?" Now I go say, "Brother Carpenter, can you tell me?" I was so hungry. What would happen if I got that hungry again? I'm getting there. I'm getting there. Whoo! I'm getting hungry about seeing God do something in our town, in our church, and among with our people in your lives. I'm getting tanked. Tanked? Tank's not a good word, is it? Oh. See, I gotta watch my language. I have to realize that I'm not done yet. I have to keep my passion level going. I got to realize I'm not there. Philippians 3:13-14. This is the Amplified Bible. "I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own yet, but one thing that I do. It is my one aspiration, forgetting what lies behind and straining." Everybody say strain. Strain forward to what lies ahead. It didn't say to have a casual attitude about my spiritual life. Some folks think that everything's going to happen in their life by osmosis. That if they hang around something, it's going to go through the pores of their skin and they're just automatically going to get something. And we get real casual about our relationship with God, our relationship with the church. We almost get a take-it-or-leave-it attitude. And I just hope God doesn't get a take-it-or-leave-it attitude about us. Are you ready for this? He told a church one time, he says, "You know what? You're not hot and you're not cold. You're lukewarm." You know what he said? Put your finger in your ears. He said, "You make me want to puke." That's exactly what he said. He said, "I'll spew you out." The ideal there is to vomit. He said, "You make me sick and I want to vomit." I hope that God doesn't look at us sometimes and think, "You make me sick." I mean, he would have a right to. When you consider what he did for us, and sometimes the casual cavalier attitude that we have back towards him, it just make you want to hurl. Okay. Verse 14. "I press on toward the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize." I mean, he's describing somebody who is straining. Ugh. There's a prize out there to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. Man. So we've got to beware of status quo mediocrity. What's status quo? It means to just keep things like they presently are. You know what? It'd be real easy. My job would be real easy if we would go back to the way that we were when we were in the old church. It'd be a whole lot easier just to go back and do things the way that we used to do in the old church. What we're doing right now is a whole lot more challenging to what we used to do. But that was the status quo. We grew as far as we were going to grow in the mentality that we were in. Now we did not have a bad church, did we? We had some great times. We saw, we did church camp in the early days. I remember the very first church camp we ever did. Holy moly. Holy Spirit moved on people. Dennis Barnett preached the opening night. Imagine that. God moved. I mean, that has to be a miracle. I'm kidding. Some of you going, did he say that about Dennis? Well, you know, if God moves when any of us preaches, it's a miracle. I mean, but God did something real, I mean, special that night. And it set a precedent for what God would do every year in our church camps until we quit doing them. We finally did them till we couldn't get anybody to volunteer to work in. And we just said, okay, we quit. And for about, what, 7 years, we didn't have a church camp. And then we started having them again. And God has blessed. We're building and growing. But we could be mediocre. We could quit right now. Let me tell you something. Get ready, because we're not through changing yet. We're making changes. We're going to 2 services. We dropped Sunday school. Some people don't understand what we're doing. We're setting ourselves in a position to prosper. We're setting ourselves in a position to grow. I don't need to be so divided in all of what I do that I can't concentrate on what I need to concentrate on. We've got to set up things that will help people grow. We've got to provide ways, growth tracks for people to grow on. We have to provide things to raise up leaders. We've not ever been good at that. But we've got to get good at it. We just got to do it. There's lots of things that we're going to have to do, but we're going to have to do a lot of changing. No longer can you afford to be a complacent follower of Jesus Christ. If you're going to be a part of what God wants to do with this church body, you can no longer be passionless and complacent. You're going to have to stir up the fire. No mediocrity. You know, it's the curse of our society. It's status quo living. We're just happy with the way things are. You know, there's churches that do not want to grow. There's churches, and they'll tell you. I've heard them say it. I just love our little church. I don't want it to get bigger. I've had people say to me, I don't want to go to a big church. I like a little church. You might not get to go to heaven. It might be too big. You read the description of who's going to be in heaven. It talks about innumerable people going to be in heaven. You're talking about 70%. You're talking about the 70% rule. Heaven's going to be full. You're going to be in a crowd. I believe you ought to be glad to be there. If we have to sit on each other's laps, I think we'll be happy to be there. Okay? But there's so many that are happy with the status quo. We cannot afford to be that way. This is a striking thing. Then we're quitting. Millions of people have buried their latent talents, gifts, and abilities in the cemetery of their last accomplishment because they have settled for the status quo. I know guys that used to be cutting edge. They used to have the go in church. They used to be the cutting edge. They had to go against the grain to do what they did. Men who fought for what they knew was right. And they stood for a message and preached it. And now they have had success, and they have become the status quo. They're no longer cutting edge. They're no longer going against the grain. They are the grain now. And a lot of them are churches just like ours that believe the right things, that have the good doctrine, that have been trailblazers in the movement. And now, they're complacent. That's sad, isn't it? They'll not reach their potential because they think that what was then is the way that it always has to be now. We got to be willing to change. I remember when, back in the day, when we had to make some decisions about the style of music. Oh my God, you'd think that somebody had died. We used to have a real Southern gospel sound. I loved it. I still love it. But that's not the sound that's going to reach. Wouldn't reach you, would it? Wouldn't reach some of you. We had to change. You know what? Let me tell you something else. The day will come when we'll have to change it again. Because what we are doing now, we will become the status quo. I'm not talking about changing what we believe. I'm talking about changing what we practice. And one of the problems with the church is that we have elevated our tradition to the same level that the Word of God has, and we have blended it and made that as important as the Word of God. Things like altars in churches. You know what? There's not a place in Scripture that says to put an altar bench in a church. My God, they don't have altars in the church. That's been said about us. They don't have any crosses. Show me one place in the Bible that it tells you to put a cross in a church. We got one out in the hall. We don't have one in here. Why? That's a sacrilege. No, it's not. Show me chapter and verse that says that. And that's been our problem. Now, I love crosses. I don't mind crosses. So why don't you have one in here? I don't know. We didn't put one in here. I don't know. But it's not that big a deal. I remember when we dropped Sunday night service, there was a church in town that publicly criticized us in their own congregation. Believers doesn't even have a Sunday night service. Show me chapter and verse where it says that you've got to have a Sunday night service. It is an American tradition. It's an American culture. There are so many things that we have tied to something and made something out of it that it's not. And it's caused us to just become mediocre. It's made us look ancient and out of date and out of style and so many things. And we probably got things that we're practicing right now that are just outdated as they can be. And we're trying to change that. It's going to take some time to change some of that. But I don't ever want to become complacent to where we are, the things that we've accomplished. Thank God for what's going on right now. But unless we make some changes along the way, we'll reach a place where we'll quit. And I don't want that to be. And that's why I cannot afford to get old in my thinking. And that's why you can't afford to get old in your thinking. I don't want to be old and crotchety. I say that all the time. I don't want to get old and cranky. Now, some of you are young and cranky. You need to get over that. We can't afford to have these attitudes. I want to stay right in there with my thinking. You know what? And someday when I pass the torch, I want to live at least 20 years beyond the time I pass the torch. I want to stand behind the next person that does this church. Because I love this church. I've spent most of my career right here in this church. This is where my heart is. This is what I love. This is what I've given my life for. I want to stand behind the next person and help them go higher. I can just imagine in my mind what John Osteen thinks about Joel. Holy moly. When John Osteen died, his church was running about 6,000. It was a mega church then. It was a big church. It was a big honking church. When Joel took that church, what is it running now? 47,000 people in that church. Can you imagine what John is doing? You talking about doing the chicken dance. I bet he's up in heaven doing that chicken dance. You know, just having him a hallelujah time up in heaven, looking down thinking, I gave my life for that. I instilled in my son, and he is taking it and taking it to another level. I hope whoever takes this church takes it to the a level that I could not take it to. I do. But I don't want to get old and crotchety in my thinking where I think that this is the way that it always has to be. Because somebody, someday, is going to have to change what I have established in order to go on with God. I don't know why I'm saying all that. I ain't fixing to die. I'm not. Jesus' name, I'm not. I'm going to live out my life. But I'm saying we're in this thing for the long haul. I'm not looking for people who are just, well, I think I'll go to another church now. I'm looking for lifers. I'm a lifer. I don't have any desire to go anywhere else. I don't have any desire to go anywhere else. Did y'all know Joe's resigning tonight? Did y'all know Joe is resigning U-turn tonight? Yeah, I started to do that out here, and I thought, I better not do that. Well, somebody might applaud if I did. No, but he, you know, it's April Fool's. It's an April Fool's that he's pulling on the kids. They're going to whip him for it. I hope they do. But you know, we're lifers. We're here for the duration. And that's what we're looking for people who are in it for the long haul. You know what I want to see? I want to see your kids grow up. I want to marry them. I want to do their wedding, sir. I want to dedicate their kids. I've done that with some of you adults here. I married you. I was there when your kids were born. I married Chris and Julie. And who else have I married in here? Anybody? David and Carrie. I married y'all. What was I thinking? Who else have I married? I married you. Did I marry you? Nita and Terry. And I married Tanya and Rodney. And I married Tammy and James. I've married Claudine 5 or 6 times. No, I've married you twice, haven't I? Now she's killed all her husbands. I mean, she's... She's buried all of her husbands. She just outlives them. I warned Lynn before they got married. But I do. I want to marry your children. I got 20 good years left. No, I don't have that many, do I? I got 14. I want, huh? Yeah, I may just have tonight. But I look forward to doing that. I've done that. I want to do it some more. And then I want to see your children grow up in this church and become the leaders, the board members and the teachers and the taking over Nancy's spot in kids' turn or whatever they call it when the name has to be changed. Seth, but we got to be forward thinking and willing to change in order to do those kind of things. Amen? All right, we got to quit. It's 10 after and Becky Burdine will skin me alive. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that you've given us minds that we can think, imaginations that we can dream, the dreams that you put in our hearts. And Lord God, we don't want to be small thinkers and small believers. We want to be big thinkers. We want to think with a God inside mindedness about us, because we know that your power is at work in us to do and accomplish your will for our lives, for our church, for this community. Lord God, we want to be the church. We thank you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming so much tonight. You bless me by being here. I wish.